Kaserne vor dem großen Tor steht ne Laterne und steckt sie noch davor. Dort wollen wir uns wiedersehen, bei der Laterne wollen wir stehen, wie einst Lili Marlene, wie einst Lili Marlene.
This is Nora Rawlinson of Early Word. I'm here with David Gillam, author of City of Women, a debut novel coming from Amy Einhorn imprint of Penguin Putnam on August 7th. This is part of First Flights, the Penguin debut author program, a unique opportunity for librarians to be the first to get to know the authors of major new titles coming out this year. You can sign up on Early Word for an advanced reader's copy of City of Women. On July 11th, you're invited to join us for a live chat with David. Hi, David. Welcome.
Nora, hi. How are you? Thank you.
Great. You're in Massachusetts.
That's
your
home, yes.
Right? Your home is
Massachusetts. Yeah, we've lived here for 11 years now. So.
Great. So, David, explain to us the title of the book, City of Women.
Well, in Berlin in 1943, during the height of the Second World War, Berlin really was a city of women. The men were at the front fighting, and the women were left behind to make do on this daily grind of rationing and shortages. And so I created the character of Sigrid, a war wife who's stuck in this incredibly boring job and a kind of a loveless marriage, and she just grinds through her day at the start of the book. So she goes to the cinema for just a little bit of solitude where she can be with herself, when suddenly this young woman appears beside her, grabs her by the arm and says, "Please say I came in here with you." So that starts the story off, where she's forced to make a small moral choice right at the beginning, and as the story goes, the choices get bigger and bigger and bigger until suddenly they're life and death.
I'm fascinated with the character of Sigrid, and particularly fascinated with the fact that it's written by a man. What were the particular challenges of writing from a woman's point of view?
Well, honestly, I don't find it difficult to write from a woman's point of view. Once I created Sigrid and the other characters, mostly women, they just take a life of their own, and I was just sort of following them as the book unfolded. I was with her when she was meeting her lover in the back of the movie theater, where that first time she goes up the steps to that dark attic where she finds that there are Jews being hidden from the Gestapo, and even when the Gestapo is chasing her through the streets. So I never really thought about it in terms of what would a woman think versus what would a man would think. I just tried to follow what the character thinks.
So tell us more about what fascinates you about Berlin at that particular point.
Well, Berlin, before the Nazis came, was a vibrant, passionate place, much like Sigrid herself was, at one time a vibrant, passionate woman. And then the Nazis came and basically turned the lights out overnight. And so by the time the war has hit, it was an oppressed city. And so I thought that was the perfect sort of a backdrop for a character like Sigrid, who herself had all this hidden passion and desire and could therefore express it through what goes on in the novel.
And in fact, when you first meet Sigrid, she's not a particularly interesting character because she has been so beaten down. But right. Then there's a little element that comes in where you suddenly realize this is not just this beaten down character. And I think all of us wonder how we would react going through a period of time like that, which I think is the essence of the book.
Yes, I agree. The idea that what would you do, what would any of us do when forced to face some sort of terrible moral choice, even on a very small level. And when we first meet Sigrid, it's not because she's making a moral statement about her feeling toward the regime that she talks back basically to the Gestapo officers. So the Gestapo officers are bullies. She doesn't like bullies, so she gets her back up and makes that decision without even really realizing it. But at what point do those decisions start to become so large that they have to be moral commitments?
Berlin is quite a different city today I wondered, how were you able to recreate Berlin at that particular point?
Oh, you're very right. The Berlin that I write about hardly exists at all any longer. The city was basically destroyed by the war. So I started out with this Baedeker's Berlin Travel Guide from 1923. And that's what I used as the basis. And that gave me all the street names and on all the bus lines and all that sort of small detail that I really needed. And from there, I started building the story. And I try to get the characters to build the story from the research that I'm doing, so that they themselves are building the story around them by using the research in dialogue, or talking about the music they're listening to, or talking about the food that they're eating, or just the arduous nature of taking the bus into work every morning.
That's fascinating. So give us a little bit of the background of what it was like getting an agent, getting an editor. You have a very well-known editor who's known for discovering great new talent. What was that like?
Oh, terrific. Amy is absolutely wonderful. I couldn't have made up a better editor to have than Amy Einhorn at this point. Fortunately, I didn't have to make her up because she actually existed. And my agent, Rebecca Gradinger, also wonderful. It's very interesting that, you know, how much they're both were involved in helping me shape the book. And I'm very grateful for all that.
Great. Well, we look forward to talking to you more on July 11th.
Me too.
Remember to sign up for the Advanced Readers Edition of City of Women here on Early Word, and to come back for the live chat with David Gillam on July 11th. Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
Lily Marley, Nitty.